There. All right. Ready. You can go. We ready. It's us this morning. Everybody's out of town. Now we can really, really dig in. Now we can get serious. Can't hear. All right, can you hear?
We can hear you.
We can hear you, we just don't care, so. I sound like a high school student, don't I? Matthew chapter 14. We'll finish up this chapter. Matthew 14. And verse 34. Man, it is quiet with this crowd. You guys are quiet. Matthew 14, verse 34. The subject this morning is the last three words at the end of this chapter, made perfectly whole. So we're going to talk about being made perfectly whole. But let's read these verses. Matthew 14, 34, the Bible says, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Perfectly whole. Those last three words, made perfectly whole, are the theme. And it's really what Jesus Christ does for sinners, makes the person complete. And the interesting thing is, I mean, sin is essentially loss in the Bible. When sin enters in, there's loss. But sin's never presented that way. But we'll deal with all that as we go through these three points here with these verses. So Jesus Christ, he goes over, the Bible says, the land of Gennesaret, and all the people hear about him. They start gathering together their sick and diseased folks, and he starts healing folks, and the people kind of treat him like a celebrity. Like if we could just get close to him, we will get better. If we can just touch the hem of his garment, we'll be better. So let's pray, and then we will talk about being made perfectly whole. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for, Lord, folks that are here. I pray that you would bless each soul that's here, those that are watching, those that are watching on TV here, Lord, that they would be blessed as well. And for those that are traveling, I pray you'd give them safety, those that are sick, that you would heal up their bodies, give them grace, and particularly all this climate of pandemic, when people get sick, they get isolated, and the isolation's not particularly good sometimes for mental stability and things like that. And so I pray that you would provide some grace there for those that are sick and having to be isolated from family and things like that. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words that we're about to delve into. I pray you'd help us and feed us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing to note is the last three words, made perfectly whole. Or the last two words, perfectly whole. And it's important when, you know, you believe the Bible, I think, you believe the words of the Bible, and the Lord says things, and he uses certain words because they're the words he wants to use. But I thought those two words, perfectly whole, are really describe what happens to sinners when sin enters into a life, when sin entered into the world. the bottom line is when that happened, there was loss of what was, there's loss of time, there's loss of life, there's loss of health, there's loss of all kinds of things that are that sin brings with it that incurs loss. And so when the Lord says something's made perfectly whole, the implication is whatever happened to these folks, the disease, the sickness, the things that they were dealing with meant that they had lost something along the way. And so that's the kind of the idea. And you'll see this kind of throughout the Bible that sin is loss. It's loss of life, it's loss of time, it's loss of sometimes fellowship and friends and family. It's just loss. And the interesting thing about that, I mean, the peculiar thing about it, or the deceitful thing about it, is sin never presents itself as loss. It always presents itself as you're missing out on something and you need to get this in order to be complete. You need this in your life in order to be complete. You need this drug in your life to be complete. You need this relationship in your life to be complete. You need this thing in your life to be complete, because sin never presents itself as loss. It presents itself as something you need, something you need to be whole. And ultimately, it's not true. He talks about the deceitful lusts over there in Ephesians. And so the lusts promise things that aren't real, and or just they're temporary. And so the first point is Jesus Christ, he restores back to wholeness what gets lost in sin. So when these folks see or hear about Jesus Christ, the diseases and the things that came about through, you know, in the nation of Israel, and were promised as a curse in the nation of Israel that they would happen, Jesus Christ is going to make whole folks that have lost things. Now let me show you a great book in the Bible that describes Jesus Christ being complete and having everything anyone needs. Look in Colossians. This is a great book that describes this. We've been going through it on Wednesday night. Colossians, so many times in the book of Colossians, Jesus Christ is all this. He's all of wisdom. He's all righteousness. He's all these things. Colossians chapter, well, just look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, and then we'll go back to the beginning of Colossians and look at a couple other verses. So Colossians chapter 2, describing Jesus Christ. Look in verse 10. We'll just go there. Colossians 2:10. It goes right along with what you read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 36, about Jesus Christ making people whole. It says, "And ye are complete in him." See that? That means you're not missing anything. Ye are complete in him. Everything God wants you to have is in Jesus Christ. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything, everything that gets lost in sin. He's the fulfillment of everything you need. Now, let's be more specific. Colossians, go back to Colossians chapter 1 and look in verse 9. I just want to show you the times, in at least in the book of Colossians, where the word all shows up and what Jesus Christ is to any believer, anyone who would believe in him. Colossians 1:9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See that? That's every. He fulfills everything that's needed. Look in verse 11. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering." There's a lot of alls in there. That's, I mean, it's a small word, but it's a big word. It's three letters, but it's a big word. It covers a lot of ground there. Then look in verse 16 about Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Just, you get the idea. All. Everything, there's nothing lacking in Jesus Christ. He is complete. He is everything that somebody needs. He's fulfillment of all those things. One more time in verse, 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There you go. So I show you those verses just to show you that that is exactly what is happening. I mean, physically, health-wise, in Matthew chapter 14, that's what's happening with the folks. They're being healed and being made whole, but on a broader scale, Jesus Christ is not just health to the Israelites that he's helping there. He is the answer to everything. Everything that gets lost in sin, Jesus Christ recoups. Everything that gets lost in sin. And so he's the Redeemer. He reconciles. He restores everything that gets lost in sin. So that's the first thing. You go back over to Matthew, those last three words, those people, the Bible says, were made perfectly whole. And it's talking physically. Their bodies were made perfectly whole. And that was during Jesus Christ's ministry. Now, you'll find that nowadays, your promises are still in Jesus Christ, but you don't have any necessarily promise that you're going to be made physically whole. In fact, you have a promise that you're crucified with Christ, and that eventually the body will die or be changed. And so that's the promise you got. All right, Matthew, back over in Matthew. So the first point is Jesus Christ makes perfectly whole. He is complete. He is the fulfillment. He restores everything that gets lost in sin. Now here's the next point. The place that's mentioned here, Gennesaret, is interesting and need to take note of it, because it is largely a Gentile area. And so all through, up until this point in Matthew, all through the book of Matthew, you've had this sort of it's a dichotomy that Israel, the nation, was prepared to receive the Messiah. And when the Messiah shows up, when Jesus Christ shows up, Israel, the one that was prepared to receive the Messiah, doesn't. But all these Gentiles seem to receive him. And so you see that all through Matthew, starting early on. So the Bible says to the Jew first, then to the Greek, not to the Jew only or to the Greek only. It says to the Jew first, then to the Greek. And so when he mentions he goes to Gennesaret, it's notable because this is where a lot of Gentiles are. This isn't like Jew country necessarily. This is where a lot of Gentiles are. And so it's Galilee. It's kind of the Galilee area. And the Bible calls Galilee, in Isaiah chapter 9, he talks about Galilee of the nations, meaning that was the place where all these nations were sort of mixed together and all these Gentiles kind of lived. And it was just sort of a big spot, a metropolitan area where just a bunch of different groups of people and nations coincided there. And so when Jesus Christ goes to Gennesaret and all these people start gathering up their sick folks, it's notable because this really isn't the crowd that he's come to. I mean, it's not really the crowd that he's come to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, at least for a time. And he's trying to get Israel to recognize the Messiah, and they don't seem to have trouble doing that. But I want to show you throughout the book of Matthew kind of how this trend has been going. And Matthew's made note of it several times. And he's made a point to say, well, these Israelites that had these advantages that we've talked about so many times and were prepared for God manifest in the flesh, when God was manifest in the flesh, they had a lot of trouble with that. But the Gentiles didn't seem to have as much trouble with it, which is kind of a unique situation. So look over in Matthew chapter 2. Here's a familiar story. From Jesus Christ's birth, here's what Matthew records, this sort of dichotomy, sort of a contradiction, that Jesus Christ comes into his own receive him not, but every time he bumped into a Gentile, it seemed like the Gentiles were a little more receptive to what was going on. So Matthew chapter 2, this is the birth of Jesus Christ. Anybody know any famous characters from Matthew 2 besides Herod here? The wise men. So at the birth of Jesus Christ, one of the things Matthew notes is there were Gentiles from the east that traveled a long way to find out who this person is that's born King of the Jews. But when he's born, the Israelites don't seem to make that much noise about it. But Matthew makes a record that these men came all the way from the east to find out who it is that's being born. And so this is kind of the first note on this thing. Verse 1, Matthew 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." You see the contradiction? And these folks knew, they had the scriptures. They knew, they should have known what was happening. Yet none of them are going to worship the king. But these outsiders are showing up in Jerusalem to find out, where is this king? So there's this sort of contradiction all through Matthew, where Jesus Christ is received outside of his own people, and not universally, but just in general. Matthew makes note of this stuff. I'll show it to you again. Look in Matthew chapter 3. Here's Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Here's the religious leaders, the people who are supposed to be teaching about God manifest in the flesh to their nation, who are supposed to be teaching the scriptures and telling folks, hey, there's the Messiah, there's the Christ, worship him, he's the one. But instead they're not, they're arguing with him. Matthew 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them," this is John the Baptist talking, "O flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So these religious leaders are showing up to baptism of John, and they're kind of relying on their first birth, they're relying on the fact that they're Israelites, they can identify their tribe and all that kind of stuff. And John the Baptist says, you can't say that Abraham's your father. I mean, God is able of these stones, he says, to raise up children. I mean, it's the idea is the same thing Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus. Remember what he said to Nicodemus? Must be born again, which he said to a Jewish religious leader. to some Gentile, wasn't to some outsider. That was to a man who was supposed to know this stuff. And he said that to, when he says that to Nicodemus, he adds to that. He says, aren't you a teacher in Israel and you don't know this? Like, how did this one pass you by? How did you miss this? And so there's just this contradiction all through Matthew where he records these Gentiles seem to be coming to the light while the ones who have the light seem to be repelled by it. Weird, kind of weird. Here's another one. I'll show you another one in Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. We'll get a good context here. Matthew 12. It says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. There you go. That's the point. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. That's the area of the Gentiles. That's the place where these nations had kind of built their cities there and gathered together. And Jesus Christ is over there preaching, and he goes to Galilee, goes to fulfill and really fulfills what Isaiah said, that out of this darkness, out of this dark land, light came out of it. And Matthew makes note of that and cites Isaiah and says he came out of this Gentile area. That's what's kind of interesting. So Matthew keeps identifying this sort of problem here, or this contradiction, really. Here's another one. Look in Matthew 8. We'll move through these. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 5. Was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You know what the problem is, and why Matthew records this? Because Jesus Christ comes into his own. His own don't receive him, but here's this Gentile centurion who seems to have faith enough that if Jesus Christ just says the words, the person that he's concerned about, his employee here, will get better. And so Jesus Christ says, I can't even find this kind of faith in Israel. I'll give you a couple more to look at him, but I'll just give you a couple more just so you get the idea and understand. This sort of thing has been going on, and Matthew's been recording this for a while. In Matthew 9, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jairus is a Gentile, and he raises her from the dead, his daughter. He raises his daughter from the dead. Then there's a woman with an issue of blood, and she begs Jesus Christ. She says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she gets in, digs through the crowd there, and falls and tries to grab onto Jesus Christ and grabs onto him, feels virtue's gone out of him. And so he identifies this lady that's had this issue of blood, and come to find out this lady's not, she's not an Israelite. She's just a Gentile. And then the ones you probably know about, you know, the I'm just a dog and all that kind of stuff, and dogs get the crumbs off the table and thing. But Matthew keeps recording this. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's recording it as an indictment. I don't know what the purpose. I think it's kind of an indictment, but it's also to show that the purpose of the nation of Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles, not to just be holy and be the nation that everyone could point to and say, you're holy and you're righteous. The point was to be a light to the Gentiles, and Jesus Christ is a light to the Gentiles, and seems like the ones he came to that had the advantages of knowing he was coming don't seem to recognize or care to recognize him. There's a few more, we'll end it there. You get the idea. So when the Bible says Jesus Christ goes to Gennesaret, all these people start gathering their sick folks together. That's notable because it's not really Jewish country. That's sort of a mixture of Gentiles and things like that. And the Lord's healing these folks, and it's a testimony to, in Israel. It's a testimony to Israel, but I don't know. They're not picking up on it. The majority of them, anyway. Now that brings us to this last point. The people that are coming to Jesus Christ say something that the lady with the issue of blood said. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, then we'll be made perfectly whole or made whole. Now, just a little trivia question here. Where in the Bible does it talk about someone touching the hem of the garment of the Messiah and being made better? It's kind of a trick question, so. What'd you say, Joe? It's not in the Bible. There is no place in the Bible that says if you touch the hem of his garment, you're going to be made whole. You know what? Where in the Bible does it say if you pray a sinner's prayer, you're going to be made whole? It doesn't say it, does it? And the point is, people come to Jesus Christ in a lot of different ways. The point is, if you believe on Jesus Christ, that's the significance of it. Now, whether you did it on a Sunday in a pew, or whether you did it during the week, or whether you did it on a holiday, it really doesn't make any difference. Whether you did it on a street corner, it doesn't make any difference. There's no Bible verse that says you got to do it on a street corner. There's no Bible verse that says you got to do it in a church service. There's no Bible verse that says you've got to make an altar call. The point is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that's significant. So when these folks say, if we can just touch the hem of his garment, they're not quoting a Bible verse. They're just trying to get to Jesus Christ the best they can. Yeah. That's what the lady with the issue of blood said. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, it'll solve my health problems. So here's what they say. Matthew 14, verse 34. We'll read the whole thing again here. Matthew 14, 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Talked about that. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Is that because the hem of his garment had some kind of power? No. Is that because there's some Bible verse in the Old Testament that if you touch the pomegranates on the priest's robe, that'll make you better? No. It's because these people are trying to get to Jesus Christ the best way they can. And if they think if they can just get in the vicinity of Jesus Christ, get close enough to touch him, touch even his clothing, then that will be enough. How about the guy earlier, the centurion, that said, you don't even need to come to my house. If you just say the words, my servant will be made better. Faith. It just trying to apply his faith. And so Jesus healed people who came in his garment. Jesus healed people that said, if you just speak the words. The point is, they're just trying to act. They're just trying to have faith. I mean, they're just believing in Jesus Christ. In fact, when the lady, going back to the lady with the issue of blood, well, let's look at it. Because he kind of corrects her, and it's instructive to all of us. Matthew, let's see, I'm going to forget where it is here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. So Jesus Christ, when he comes to Israel, he is essentially treated by a lot of Gentiles as a celebrity. Like, if I could just get close to him, then something will rub off on me. And so he's kind of treated like a celebrity, and he is. I mean, he's celebrated and all that kind of thing. So here's what this lady says that we talked about. And here's Jesus Christ's correction, just like Josh mentioned about faith and the blood and all that kind of stuff. But look what's said here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That she said that, not the scripture said that or anything. That's what she said. But Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. What's the next few words? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It's not the garment. It's not the pomegranates on the priest's robe or the hem or any of that stuff. There's no magic spell to it. There's no magic incantation. It's just faith. If just you trust Jesus Christ to help, then he's a help. And so when this lady touches the hem of his garment, she's just believing that Jesus Christ has the power to heal her, and he does, and he heals her. And when these folks show up in Matthew 14, they say the same thing. If we can just touch the hem of his garment, then we'll be healed. And so they do the same thing. The point in all of that is simply this. I've heard sermons about, the high priest robe and how, it had, if people would do this with it and then it would make them better. And it's not magic. It's the same prescription from the days of Noah. It's the same prescription from the days of Abel. It's the same prescription from Abraham, from David. It's the same prescription. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so when they come and touch the hem of his garment, they're praying the sinner's prayer, whatever it is. The point is, none of those things are the things that save people. What saves a soul is faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saves a soul. Now, however that happens, if that happens at someone's home, if that happens on the street, if that happens in the grass somewhere, if that happens on a pew, if that happens in a church service, if that happens outside a church service, wherever faith in Jesus Christ is expressed, Jesus Christ responds to that. And so that's the idea here. There's how they sought to be made whole is that they're trying to get to Jesus Christ because they believe, rightly so, that Jesus Christ has the power to make people whole. So, and I point that out because I think it's important, obviously, to understand and to know. But it also shows that Jesus Christ is, and God, they're you may think, kind of goes against, I guess, some of the Pharisaical type stuff where if you don't do it this way, then God doesn't, if you don't have a I don't know, if you don't have an invitation service, or if you don't have this in your service, if you don't do this way, or if you weren't in a church, or if you can't, here's one. If you don't know the time and the day when this happened, I don't know the time and the day where I trusted Jesus. I know it happened, but apparently at that time, I didn't know you're supposed to be keeping track. So I couldn't tell you the date and the time. Yeah, exactly. But and that's the point. It's faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he responds to. Go ahead, Josh. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's everything's by faith.
Amen. That's the thing over and over again. And that was the big, really, I don't know what other word, but contradiction, that when Jesus Christ came into Israel, the nation he had created out of nothing and prepared for himself, really. And he had prepared them so many centuries, and now here he was. And they had built up a religion that was so anti-Christ. And when he showed up, they were against it in every turn. But these Gentiles seemed to be sort of, they rub up against Jesus Christ, and they're just like, whoa, I've never seen anything like this. So going back to Matthew, it really boils it down. It's by faith. Faith that makes righteous, it's by faith all through this thing. Jesus Christ is, like you said, Josh, he said earlier in Matthew, you know, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. And then this outsider shows up and says, if I just say the words, that their servant will be healed. If I just show up, the daughter will be raised from the dead, and I just can't find this kind of faith in Israel. So there's a little bit of a contrariness there, but Matthew just records over and over that these Gentiles seem to keep getting in on this thing, and that's not exactly the plan right now, but that seems to be becoming the plan because the Lord goes to Israel where he had prepared the place to go, and all these other outsiders start to show up and things like that, and you see how that plays out throughout the Bible. So the point is, ultimately, Jesus Christ makes perfectly whole. The way he makes perfectly whole is by faith. I will say healing is not promised to anybody at this point. You're not promised to be healed. In fact, you're promised that your body's going to die or be changed. So that's the promise. All promises are in Jesus Christ. That's where they're located. And Jesus Christ isn't walking around on this earth. He's in heaven. And so your life, if you're in Christ, your life is in heaven. That's where it is. And so Jesus Christ makes whole. He makes whole by faith and every sinner in Jesus Christ. And that's sort of the story here. At 14. So made perfectly whole, made perfect. That's the. That this has been helpful. I pray that you'd feed your flock today, and those that are watching or will be watching, that you'd help them for. Brother Hoffmeister will be traveling in this evening. I know, kind of a quick come in and leave, but I pray you give him safety as he's traveling. And thank you for each soul that's here this morning. Thank you for time together this morning. And thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.